Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I'm Jim Galante. With me, Executive Director of Happy Valley United, Mike Villagrana. Mike, how are we doing this week? We are fast approaching football.
Yeah. I think if you look at the calendar, the audience can't see, but you know, we can see each other. And I have my daughter working for me now, and I give her $1 a day for her to update my board. And right now, as we speak on this Sunday, I know the listeners are going to hear this on Monday, but we have 48 days until kickoff. And based off of last week, listening to some of the ACC meetings, and I know we're going to talk about that. There's some good sound bites that, that are going to be fun to talk about, but it's that time of year. Some people are, on vacation. It's kind of a boring time of the year, but this is where everybody starts thinking, man, football is right around the corner. And you start talking football, right? Like, in this culture, in this day and age, man, most – and I tell you and the listeners all the time, I listen to sports radio every morning while I'm working all day. And a lot of the talk over the past couple of months, and maybe the past year, really, has been non-football stuff, right? Courtrooms, judges, suing, realignment,
gambling.
Gambling. Anything and everything besides football. And for me, I'm kind of like I always consider myself a meathead nerd. I got a ton of like football meathead in me. And I also got a lot of like nerd in me too. So I'm so excited to just talk football. And I know that's what we're going to be talking about today. Some of the breakout stars that I think. It was funny. So I'm trying to prepare for that. And I'm jotting down some notes and I'm putting some stuff together. And I'm like, man, we haven't even talked really about football, right? And that's kind of where I see everybody transitioning right now is, all right, it's time to talk football. All right, enough with that other crap, all right? Let's talk football.
Let's do it. But first, it struck me, you mentioned you've got your daughter, Cameron, helping you out. You're paying her $1 a day to do that. Cameron, if you're listening to the show, I want to help you out here. $1, it's time for you to tell Daddy you need a raise. Ask Daddy if he's familiar with what minimum wage is. Okay?
On the board, I know the audience can't see, but on the board, I had her do the contract. So it's, and she signed it. Well, she's seven, so she doesn't know how to do a signature, so it's printed. But I have the contract here. So anything, she is in no position to ask me for a raise right now. Okay, so we have a contract in place, and she has to live by it. So I think $1 is very fair to a seven-year-old. She's about to turn eight. But she's 7 years old, and what that does for a seven-year-old, she loves Five Below. So that's one Five Below purchase per week. That's pretty dang good for a seven-year-old.
Cameron, I am offering to be your agent and your lawyer. I'm sure I could tear that contract apart. Our goal, Cameron, is $2 a day. And then in a week, you have $10. You can go to Five Below and get two items instead of one. Cameron, I hope to see you in a couple weeks at our get-together.
Yeah, you are. You're going to see her.
You and I, Cameron, will have a discussion, okay? So hopefully, Cameron, you're going to keep her away from the show, aren't you, this week?
Yeah, I might have to.
All right, let's get going forward. We promised we'd talk football. But first, I guess this counts as football. The ACC, they got in front of everybody. They had their media days in. And you know what? two of our old friends, Pat Narduzzi and James Franklin, they came up big, with their quotes this week, which I love. I'll give you the choice, Mike. Which one do you want to talk about first?
Our buddy Narduzzi.
Well, let's do that. The dudes. I'll tell you what, he's amazing, and he constantly puts his foot in his mouth. And we talked about this a little bit before we started the show. And the question is he just looking for attention? Is he throwing crap against the wall just for that? It's like clickbait for coaches. But he made the claim the ACC is better than the Big Ten.
But it goes all the way back to when I was here in 2015. You know, we were competing for a lot of people, the same caliber players at that time, right? Like we weren't nearly as close as to where we are now. Like if it's a kid between us and Pitt, like, we're probably 99% of the time we're going to get that kid, right? But at that time, you know, I remember we were in a battle for Damar Hamlin, and I remember, you know, he ended up going to Pitt, and just another handful of guys, but. Him and his staff, he like kind of wires his staff to like say these outlandish things. Even back then, they seem bizarre. It seems like it's just let's stir some stuff up, right? Let's get people talking about Pitt. No matter what, if it's, you know, just so crazy, some of the things that they say. But to me, in these times, and especially in July, he knows what he's doing. This is perfect. This puts more eyes on Pitt, Panthers, and Narduzzi, people talking about them, right? So it's very calculated, I think. It's just not like he's just throwing things on the wall. I think he's literally thinking, you know what, I'm going to stir things up. I'm going to say this, because why not? Like, they have nothing to lose, right? Like, so I get a kick out of it, but I don't put too much thought into it, because I think he's just doing it because it's a part of his plan to get people to talk about Pitt, right? Regardless of what he talks about. But it's fun to talk about. I did see a couple things on social media yesterday regarding it. And I honestly didn't know like the bowl game and all of that. So it's really, really funny knowing that now. For what he said is just that much more ridiculous.
My feeling is he wants very badly to play Penn State, which is a situation where they have nothing to lose and everything to gain. As you pointed out, you know, lower regarded program right now. If they lose to Penn State, it doesn't hurt them. If they beat Penn State, it's a huge win. But you add to it financially for Pitt. In previous times, what they've done in selling tickets is you couldn't buy a ticket to just the Penn State Pitt game. So for Penn State people, you'd have to buy a package of three or four games just to go to the Penn State Pitt game. For Pitt, it's a real financial benefit to play Penn State. So I think he's trying to poke the bear. You know, he's trying to get Penn State to say, if you think you're so much better than us, prove it on the field and play us.
Yeah, and check out this stat, Jim. I just pulled this up. So in 2026, the NFL draft, the Big Ten put out 68 players in the NFL draft, right, including 10 first-rounders. The ACC put in 38 drafted in the 2026 NFL draft with six first-rounders. So basically, you know, you trying to call – you're dunking on the Big Ten conference, but we nearly doubled the amount of NFL prospects in the previous draft. That's a little bit telling. So it's fun for him. Like I said, it's calculated for him, for people to get talking about him.
Yeah. Well, in the ACC, hey, credit to Miami for what they've done in the last year or two using, and let me start with this too. I do not blame any team for using their financial strength, whether it's Texas Tech, SMU, you know, Miami, to take a step up. Okay, they're using that. that's no different than how Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, Penn State has always used facilities and used their financial strength otherwise. I don't blame those programs at all. But after Miami, where in the ACC do they have programs that can compete with Ohio State, Oregon, Indiana now? You know, it's ridiculous to make that comparison. But as you said, it's a way to draw attention to their conference and to their program.
Yeah, no question. And think about Jim? What's his name? Jim, ACC.
Is it Delaney?
No.
That's the Big Ten. Commissioner.
Anyways, he's got a lot of pressure to keep up with the Joneses, right?
Yes.
We're in a world where, man, we need as much clout, as much attention, good attention. Maybe he doesn't even care about whether it's good or not, but they want as much attention to the ACC, right? So when these conversations and the conferences and the evolution of conferences and college football continues to happen, that they're in, they have a seat at the table, right? So this is to me a product of that. And let me tell you this: so when I was in the ACC at Virginia Tech, I was able to be on some of these head coach meeting calls, right? I think they were like monthly at a certain time. And so all the head coaches get on there, and I would be like in the room next to Coach Pry, and we just hear it out, because a lot of the stuff that would come up would be what the conferences and the head coaches feel about some rule changes and stuff like that. And so that would affect me and how I would have to like kind of plan. So I was privy to some of these conversations, and Duke's on there, man. Like he is who he is. That guy that you hear him like saying that stuff, that's who he is. He's very brash. He's very confident. He's very comfortable in his own skin. And to that point, I respect that. And maybe there's a little bit of it because he's a Youngstown guy. I think he went to Ursuline. But I still don't claim him. Narduzzi has this whole niche that I think is good for the Pitt program or the Pitt look, because that's who they are. They need to be in the limelight somehow.
All right. By the way, Jim Phillips is the ACC commissioner.
I got to listen, and he came to one of our retreats. Really, really good guy.
All right, we'll talk more about this right after this break.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I'm Jim Galante. With me is Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of Happy Valley United and the brains behind HVU Insider. Mike, we were talking about the ACC Media Days. And I guess the purpose of Media Days literally is to draw attention to your program, to your conference, and Pat Narduzzi. No matter what you think of what he says, you and I are talking about it. Okay. So that he's accomplishing what he set out to do. And I think by, you know, poking the Big Ten, poking Penn State, that's what he wants to do. And I'm going to finalize the Pat Narduzzi conversation with this. I would love Penn State to play Pitt every year. Okay. It's a rivalry. It is. As a fan, I can tell you, I live and die with the result of that game. when Penn State beats Pitt, I'm doing a happy dance. I want to talk to my friends who are from Pitt. It means – and losing to Pitt, just losing to them is worse than beating them is good, if you know what I mean. And that's what a rivalry is like. And it's like the old, you know, what teams do I root for every week? Number one, Penn State. Number two, whoever's playing Pitt, okay? Which leads me to where I will give James Franklin credit is his ability to poke Pat Narduzzi also. Pitt plays Virginia Tech this year. I should check what weekend it is, when Penn State's playing. I hope they're not playing at the same time. I want to watch that game. I actually want to watch the press conferences the week prior from those two guys, Mike.
I want to know how those head coach meetings are, those calls that I told you I used to people to listen in on. Got to be great. Like, there's got to be like, I guarantee you there's, like, little subtle shots in there. I would love to hear those meetings.
I would love to have them mic'd up for that pregame, when the head coaches kind of get together and say hello. I would love to hear that conversation between the two of them. I really would.
Let me tell you real quick. Let me give you a little background real quick on my disdain for Pitt. Okay. So I grew up in Youngstown, Ohio, and going through the high school ranks, was recruited by a number of schools, had a couple of offers, nothing crazy. And West Virginia was probably one of my better offers. Ended up committing there. I was recruited by Pitt. Never really got an offer from them. But then I ended up going to West Virginia, right? Okay, so fast forward to my senior year, and obviously that was a huge rivalry, right? So going through those years in college, I'm wired to hate Pitt, right? That's our biggest rivalry. I just heard on the radio the other day about the biggest heartbreaks, and a radio caller called in and said it was the 2007 game when West Virginia was ranked number two, and all they had to do was beat a 5-5 Pitt team, and we lost, right? And
13-9 was that the 13-9 game?
Yeah, that, and where my teammate Pat McAfee missed like two field goals. He talks about it all the time. He thinks about it all the time. And so I was part of that team. That was my senior game. And so imagine how much I hate Pitt. So then you go and you move on, and I go to a school like Penn State at 2015, right? So it's doubled down, right? That I can't stand Pitt, right? And then I go to Virginia Tech, for 2 years. And again, it's that guy's there as the same person. So I have a long history of disdain for the Pitt program. I just wanted the listeners to know that.
Well, what do they call it? The backyard brawl between West Virginia and Pitt?
Yeah. And we had some good ones. And I think there was a time after I had graduated and moved on that it wasn't there, but I think they got it back now. But yeah, it's a heck of a robbery.
Well, they belong, and it's unfortunate they're in different conferences. They belong, and they should be in the same conference.
Yeah, and I will say, and take away all politics and everything outside of it, if like you got to like set up your own schedule, I would love for Penn State to always play West Virginia, Pitt, and Notre Dame, Ohio State, and Michigan every single year.
Oh, yeah.
Every single year. Those five teams, those are the teams that like I want to see Penn State like beat every single year, right? And I think that the fans would agree to that.
Oh, my goodness, yes. And I know there's a lot I understand the logic of not playing Pitt. I really do, okay? In my head, I understand. There's nothing to be gained. I get it. I really do, Mike. However, in my heart, is there anything better in the world than beating Pitt? And, I go back when I was a kid, Penn State played Pitt always Thanksgiving weekend, last game of the year. I loved it. They used to play Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. And our listeners have heard this story before, Mike. One of my favorite memories as a kid was my dad and I watching Penn State Pitt Friday after Thanksgiving. It meant we had Thanksgiving leftovers, okay? And it was okay with Dad for us to eat in the living room, which back, that was a big deal. But we were able to eat our Thanksgiving leftovers on Friday watching Penn State play Pitt. And if you want to piss off a Pitt fan, just say the two numbers, 48-14. That was the score when Penn State beat Dan Marino and Pitt. One of my favorite sports memories. Pitt was up 14-0. Penn State scored the last 48 points of the game. Our older listeners, they will remember it. Trust me. Anyway.
And I'm always around like Yinzers, right? I love Yinzers. Yes. There's this weird there's this weird relationship with like Youngstown, area-ish region and Pittsburgh because we're so close to each other. Right. And then in my first time running a recruiting department, I was working for Joe Moorhead, one of the biggest Yinzers out there. Right. I thought about that because you brought up Dan Marino. He's like the biggest Dan Marino guy. But yeah, so it's funny. It's funny that the whole living in this region and my background and everything that I've gone through, the dynamics of Pitt, it's fun. That's what it is to me. It's fun.
It really, and just as an aside, as much as I dislike Dan Marino being at Pitt, I literally still think he's an underrated quarterback. I think he was incredible, but he never won a Super Bowl. But
who would you compare him to today? That's where I struggle because he was right before my time where I really understood the game. But people talk about him like, gosh, like he's Joe Montana. Who would you compare him to today?
I think he had a bigger arm than Joe Montana. When I think Joe Montana, I think accuracy, precision. I think Dan Marino, I still think as a gunslinger, huge arm, but he was also the guy who just had the quickest release. And he was incredible with that. And I remember seeing one of these made-for-TV things where they had the quarterback competition, where they did different things. And there was one that was supposed to be, you know, the quarterback gets out of the pocket, then releases. It was set up to be for the quicker, like, dual-threat kind of quarterbacks. And Dan Marino, who was not a dual threat, but he won that part of the competition because his release was so quick. He got rid of the ball so fast. Think of someone, big arm, quick release. He wasn't known as a rocket scientist, but he just had a feel for the game where he could move within the pocket. You know, he had the bad knees. He wasn't going to run the ball, but he just slid within the pocket, you know, to get him, make himself find a lane.
I'll probably piss some listeners off that are Dan Marino guys, but based off what you're saying, I hear Jay Cutler.
But just much better. I think, you know,
but you never won, so why didn't he win?
I think it was the team around him. I don't think he had the horses. Like, he made it to the Super Bowl, I believe, as a rookie and lost. But I think it's what holds him back from, you know, like you mentioned, Joe Montana. Of course, there's Tom Brady. There's Patrick Mahomes. All these guys, they won. And obviously, hey, there's a lot of credit to goes for to that because these quarterbacks helped their team win. But I think what's held Dan Marino back is he doesn't have that Super Bowl, you know, under his belt. And I don't think it's really his fault. I don't think he had the team around him, because I think if he does, I thought of him as, you know, during that era as one of, if not the best quarterback. And he'll never get that regard because he didn't win a Super Bowl. He will never be thought of that way. But so I think the skill set was there.
So to me, what I'm hearing, he's the Charles Barkley of the NFL.
Kinda, yeah. Yeah. Or how about
Charles Barkley? Seems like he's more well liked though than Dan. Seems like Dan, you love him or hate him.
I think, you know, playing for Pitt and you know, I think being a Dolphin and not a team like from the Northeast where the fan base is so rabid, you know.
Yeah, that's a great point.
I think there's a different kind of fan base in Miami. So, but it reminds me, and I know I've told this story before, in the last minute I'll throw it in real quick. There used to be a TV show during the week called TV Quarterback, because not all games were on TV. Joe Paterno, the week after 48-14, down 14-0, and the host asked Paterno, gee, coach, you must have made an adjustment to, you know, slow down Dan Marino, who just marched right down the field the first two drives. And Joe's answer was, didn't change a darn thing. If he was going to be that good as he was those first two drives, we lose the game. And they showed some of the highlights of the first two drives, and there were defenders all around the receivers. But that's how good Dan Marino was those first two drives. And it just didn't carry through for the rest of the game.
Well, all right, I apologize, Mike. Jim. We do what we do. We get on tangents.
You know what? Hey, there's always next week. Now, we get off on our tangents. When we come back, though, we'll quickly go through what James Franklin had to say. Then we're going to talk about this Penn State team.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. With me is Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of Happy Valley United. I'm Jim Galante. It's quarter number three of our show. Mike, we went off on tangents. We'll get to the team real quickly. Just though first, the other guy we mentioned, James Franklin at ACC Media Days, he had a few things to say. One of them being he won the offseason, which I thought was pretty fascinating. He had similar things to say a year ago at Penn State, and I know you had some thoughts about that.
Yeah, and I listened to, like I said, I always listen to the sports talk radio stuff and the ACC show on XM Radio. I was listening to all day and just the takes and whatever. And just overall, I can't really stand the media days. Like, they're just very – they're so fake and unorganic. And then you get these kids, like, and they talk. And a lot of the times, they just – they don't sound very articulate. They sound like robots. And it's the same thing. It sounds like, you know, they just wound them up and they're saying the same damn thing. And that's annoying about it. But to your question about James Franklin, as his career evolves and he's now at Virginia Tech, he is a fascinating guy in the public, because yeah. I don't think this guy can ever be looked at as what he wants to be looked at as. That's where I kind of think we're at right now. Like, he's just so, like, I don't know, like, anything and everything he says gets freaking, like twisted somehow, or turns into a meme or you know, something on social media, like, kind of, like, jabs at him. And, like, I don't think he's ever going to get away from that, just because of, like, how what he's gone through and how he's gone through and the perceptions of everything that's happened. And, you know, so I think it's funny. So the part that I listened to with him was it was after that soundbite, right? And so they, and he talked about it and he said, you know, it's kind of funny because that was just one part of a whole sentence, pretty much a whole like thing that he says he thinks he won the off season at Virginia Tech within a program. And to be fair, like that makes sense to me, right? But the way that he has positioned himself optically in the media and with fans, they are going to tear him up as much as they can, right? And it's fun for our fans. It's fun for the Virginia Tech fans to go back and forth with it. But yeah, that's kind of my take on him, because it's interesting to see how you know, coaches, they move on and then they kind of try to recreate themselves sometimes, you know, when they come back to a second job or a third job. To me, it's just like he's going down this avenue where he's not going to be able to say anything that doesn't get crushed. So that's kind of my take on that with him, and that soundbite.
Well, my response to it is I think James Franklin is a really smart guy, very smart guy. But I would also call what he said, and take your pick of which word you want to use, calculated, which has a negative connotation to it, or intentional, which has a more positive connotation, but sort of saying the same thing. I feel like everything he says, he's thought it out, he's calculated it, and there's a purpose to it. And it's not natural. It's not off the cuff. And some people will say, well, geez, sometimes he makes mistakes. Like there was the quote where he said, we're a great program, but we're not elite. And well, he was saying that in front of a whole bunch of recruits. So it was like, so then when the day's over, he could go to that recruit and say, hey, you're the guy who could get us from great to elite. There's always a purpose. Now, it can backfire on him, but there's a purpose to it that I think in the day before when he thinks this through in his head, he thinks it's going to be effective. Now, this we won the offseason, I believe he's talking to his Virginia Tech fans, and boy, they are all high on this, and they love hearing that.
Yeah.
But there's a smarter way to say it. How about, hey, I'm really happy with what we accomplished over the offseason. We did really well. I'm really pleased with the players we brought in. As soon as you start saying we won the offseason, it's kind of like in baseball, you know, the media will tell you your team won the offseason. The GM doesn't go out there, well, we won the offseason. As a Met fan, we've won too many off seasons and never win the real season, Mike.
Yeah. And another thing too, so it's very interesting to me, this, like I try to be fair on this, and you're right. Like he's so smart. He's one of the smartest guys I've ever met and been around. And to your point, he's very calculated on everything that comes out optically. Right. So, and I think like at a time when like he's coming out of Vanderbilt and he's like one of the hottest coaches in the country before he came to Penn State, like that, like optically, like that looked very good in the sports media in our country. Now fast forward, you know, 10 plus 15 years now, like I think media and people and just normal guys, like just they were more receptive to just organic, right?
Yeah.
Like just like talking like a normal human being, right? That's not his shtick. And so that shtick that he created and made him so hot back in the day is still his thing. But I just think it's just not receptive the same way with the way that the country is, the media, and how they take, you know, these type of things. So that's my honest, like fair evaluation of like James Franklin and his reception and how he is, how fans and people have evolved and taken what he says to just like, man, this guy, he's a business, he's a sales, car salesman, whatever. But dude, that's what made him like who he is, and a very coveted coach And obviously what happened here, but he's not changing. So I get a kick out of it. Like all these memes, the pictures, this stuff is funny. Penn State fans are so funny. They're very creative.
And I think also, and this is stating the obvious, it will play much better to Virginia Tech fans who are just being introduced to this, as opposed to Penn State fans who have heard this for 10 years. You know, so for the Penn State fans, if you remember a year ago, James Franklin in Media Days talked about this is the best team we've had, or the best personnel, coaching staff, and players that we've ever had here. And the end result was so bad that he got fired mid-season. So as a Penn State fan, it's like, we're tired of hearing that. You know, just you played that same, you know, kind of thing a year ago, and what was the end result? And what I'm wondering is, you know, again, if he wins and wins big at Virginia Tech, hey, he'll be able to keep doing this, but don't lose, because they'll turn on you.
You know what it is too? It's a product of the culture of college football. And, you know, the suits and everybody that controls college football, it's a product of that. I compare it to like what Dabo Swinney's going through right now, right? Yeah. He's been at one school forever. He has this shtick, the Dabo, right? The Dabo talks, yep. Listen to me and how great I am and all my, and my resume, right? And he does that every single time, right? And anytime he gets some backlash, right, he goes back to his resume and like everything I've done well. Well, over time, just like Coach Franklin, you know, that those fans get fed up with it. It's just natural, I think, with what the culture of college football is. So I think that's a fair comparison, like what Dabo is doing right now. Look, if Dabo doesn't win this year, I think his time's up. I think they're gonna run him out because they're over that shtick. They want something fresh, right? It's like the old guy that gets a ton of money or something like that, and then he wants a young whippersnapper. So he wants a refresh. That's a guy kind of like look at it. Maybe that's a bad comparison, but it just popped in my head.
Well, talking about wanting something young, let's talk Bill Belichick. I was already thinking about him. You know, he was a god for what he did at New England. Okay, greatest of all time. He was the GOAT. And now, it did not take long for him to tarnish his reputation. And I think part of it is the game changes so quickly in so many ways. Dabo Swinney might be the same guy he was 8 years ago when he was winning national championships. He may be the same, but the game has changed. It's just like, you know, the way Vince Lombardi coached in the 60s. That's not going to win him games in today's NFL. You know, the game changes. And, you know, right now, Kurt Cignetti is the hottest thing in college football. And remember when his introductory press conference, check my resume, you know, I win wherever I go. Well, yeah. Those could have been famous last words, but they weren't. Why? He backed it up, had back-to-back playoff seasons. He has a national championship under his belt. But you know what? If Indiana goes 500 the next couple years, Hoosiers are going to be singing a much different tune.
That's the reality of just sports and being a head coach. Like it never, like the Joe Pauls and being at a school like that, is non-existent anymore, right? The shelf life of coaches at a school, it's not very long, right? Like honestly, like we did research of maybe the past like 5 years and the longevity of a career at each school for a first for a head coach coming in. I bet you it's somewhere around 3 years.
It is. The smartest thing Nick Saban ever did was getting out.
Perfect timing, because usually it doesn't end well, right? Obviously,
correct.
It just never ends well because that's just the nature of this business. And so it's like I get. it's funny to me, just 30,000 feet when I see new coaches, and we'll talk about this in the next segment.
Okay. Very good. You're understanding the clock. We'll do that right after this.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. He's Mike, I'm Jim. It's quarter number four. Mike, when we left, I cut you off because we were running out of time. I had just mentioned Nick Saban, smartest guy in the world because he got out on top.
Yeah, but I'm just like thinking, just optically, like there's no middle ground when it comes to college sports, right? There's no you're either happy or you're pissed off, right? And that's there's no like I said in the last segment, there's no Joe Pa's of the world anymore where they're 20 plus years out of school, right? Like that just doesn't happen anymore. And I get a kick out of it because when you see head coaches, they lay it on you and they put it in your face. I love this school. I love this. They put out everything social media wise, what they're doing. Their family's so happy. And then 2 years down the line, they lose a game and whatnot. They're fired. They're out of here. Right. Or they jump ship because they did so well that they go to another school. Right. Yep. For pastures. Right. So it's all like fake in a sense, yep, to me, you know, like so. I think that's why, like, not to get too off, but I think that's why, like, I really love this place. I love talking to guys like yourself. I love talking to Letterman because they came here and what they went, like everything and like how they were wired, the Penn State way, the Joe Pa guys, like it's real, right? Like there's nothing fake about it. That's what kind of like makes this place special, right? To me, but I won't get off too much, but that's kind of my take on that part.
And that was it. You know, Joe Paterno had many options to go to the NFL and chose to stay. And in college sports, you know, give Kurt Ferentz credit for staying at Iowa for all those years. That doesn't happen. All right.
Yeah, Mike, Yeah.
I'm going to cut us off on this because we promised we'd talk a bit about the team. And it's interesting, on a show last week with my buddy Andy Shea, we ranked all the position groups, okay? And as it gave me the exercise of going through each group, and one of the things that struck me was there's no superstars on this team, or that's the way I looked at it, which leads to the question, you know, there's potential in different places, but who are those guys that fans should look at and say, you know what, may not be a star yet, but we think he could break out and become that kind of guy? I know you gave this some thought.
Yeah, I have kind of four areas that, like, just me personally, I'm excited about, and I think will be. I think fans are going to be really excited about. First, it's the running back room. Because we just went through an era with two greats, right? Nick Singleton and Catron Allen, right? And it's new faces, right? I don't think there's going to be a drop off at this position, especially the way that it's structured right now with James Peoples, Ohio State transfer coming in, younger guy, has multiple years left. Carson Henson coming in was the cowbell for Iowa State transfer, and then we have the retainment of Q, Quentin Martin coming back, highly touted kid out of Pittsburgh. So, like, those three, they all complement each other really well. They know not one of them is going to have to take all the reps. So the way that they're distributed, the reps, they're going to be able to be fresh. They're going to be able to really maximize their potential. And I think we're going to see Carson Henson be kind of the dude and James People compliment him. And then I can't wait to see where Quentin kind of fits in that equation. That is a room that I think people are going to be so excited about after a couple games. They're like, man, we have such a weapon at that position. The other player that I think Coach Campbell talked about coming out of spring ball was Zion Tracy, somebody I've always been high on. You look at him physically, he has everything to be a high draft pick in the future. He's got the speed, the talent, he's got the experience now. And you have the retainment of Terry Smith, obviously his coach. And so now you have him coming back with experience and with AC, Adavian Collins, and the rising star of Darius Dixon coming back, which I've talked about a lot. I think he's going to end up being a day one, day two guy when it's all said and done. That room is going to be awesome for us. And you marry it up with the talent in that room, the experience and the coaching in that room with a new scheme with Lynn, I think that's going to be another one. And then I think we have a real big question at defensive end. And with Max Granville coming back off of his injury, everything about this kid I love, just as a human being from just being around him. I couldn't be rooting for somebody more. But that aside, I think he has a legit shot to get on people's radars and be a household name when it's all said and done. And then my last position, Jim, that I'm looking, it's my favorite position in football is the offensive line. And I love this, the structure, the way that they put this this offensive line together with the transfers, with Malachi Goodman stepping up after a year redshirting and developing. He looks like a day one guy right now. You have Riker coming in who has been said that he could be the best center in the country, right? And then you have Coop. And I know I'm not naming them all, but that room has a chance to be special. Kind of similar to what we talked to last year about the room, but that room last year was kind of proven. They were old heads. This is a new refresh, new offensive line coming together. You have some guys with experience, and you have some transfers coming in and coming together. And by everything that's coming out of Lash and spring football, that is going to be a huge, huge piece to our success this year, especially with the way and the attitude and the way that Coach Campbell is moving forward. It's going to be a ground and pound, truly. And then you hear Coach Clanton and the offensive line coach and some of his sound clips. He has this attitude like an offensive line coach should, right? Move your ass, right?
Yeah.
Nobody's going, I love that. It's like an old school feel. So I'm excited about that room. I think those players are really excited to show what they have. And really, Jim, overall, we have 40 plus new players, right? So there are so many guys that I could probably name right now that are going to come up. And I'm going to be like, in game two, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. I saw him in spring ball. He's a stud. They're all over the roster.
Well, I had a lot of difficulty ranking position groups because everyone I said, boy, there's something there. I think it's good. It could have the potential to be really good. Like the offensive line, Malachi Goodman is the big question mark. Because he's so young. He I think is the key guy. I feel pretty good about the rest of the offensive line, and I just wonder. Is he ready to be the left tackle? Is he ready for that, Mike?
I would put a lot of money on that he is. you know, I could say this, and then, you know, he doesn't have a great year, and, you know, you come back, or a fan come back and rip me. But I honestly, I feel very confident that he's ready for the limelight, and he's going to end up being a day one guy. And for the fans, when I say day one guy, that means, you know, he's going to be a high draft pick.
Well, and the thing is, it's I think most people think he will be really good. The question is, will he be really good right away? Now, you also mentioned the defensive ends. Man, the potential's there, but it's just like every year for the last decade almost, we've had a star defensive end returning. This is the first time in a while that's not been the case. It's one of these young guys, at least one of them, looking for someone stepping up. So we've heard Max Granville, Camaju's another one. You know, there's talent there.
Camaju is a stud. Like, to me, I look at Camaju like a young Abdul. He's a different player than Abdul. But I'm saying, like, the talent wise, he is a talent, man. And for us to keep him and retain him was huge, huge, huge win for us. He played as a true freshman. You know what I mean? Yeah. So,
yep.
I guess maybe because I'm closer to the program, that I look at it a little bit different. I think the defensive ends, which is exciting for fans, right? So, there'll be some household names come a couple weeks into the season, I think, when it comes to that position.
We have all been disappointed over the last several years about the wide receiver position. And my statement, everything has changed. You can't use last year, the year before, to judge this year's wide receiver group. New set of receivers, new position coach, new coordinator, new head coach, everything. What are you seeing from the wide receivers? What's the talk with them?
I think it's like a lot of the other positions too. There's some unknowns just because there's 40 plus players coming into the program. So there's a lot of unknowns. A lot of these players, I think I talked about it on last week's show. When I was in Lash a couple of weeks ago, taking care of some NIL stuff, that I got to see the players. They were just getting done with some workouts and stuff, and they were just coming through. And then the wide receivers to me are like super long, like very long, athletic looking guys. I probably say too much, but I call them avatars. They all have like avatarish look to them. Kobe Howard is a well talked about guy, but there's a lot of other guys in that room that are studs. And then really kind of Zay Robinson's kind of the outlier because he's kind of that. Who was the player?
KJ Hamler or someone like that.
Yeah. He's kind of that smaller type, but most of that room is long, long guys, maybe like a Chris Godwin type of body structure. Yeah. But that's what I like, honestly. Like, out of all those guys that came through that I saw, the wide receivers, I was like, dang, these guys are long.
You're talking my language when you're talking about those long receivers. All right, Mike, that's going to be the final word. Thank you, Mike. Thank all of you for tuning in. Make sure you come back next time for more Keystone Kickoff Show.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel. The first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.